I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Want to get on the voice line? Want to hear yourself? Want the whole world to hear you ranting and raving about something? 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86, 877-664-7886, or the TalkBack feature on the iHeartRadio app. That's where everything is. We are going to talk in just a moment with Joel Wessel. Joel is one of those who got stuck on the Golden Gate Bridge yesterday. Some people were stuck there for 5 hours because of these pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist protesters. And it tied things up because they chained themselves together in an unusual way, and the police couldn't break them apart. This is him. He was a driver, and this is him getting into it with the protesters on the bridge.
Stop it! You get on the f***ing road!
You're being killed!
You're on the f***ing road!
You're being killed!
You understand?
You're being killed.
Do you think I care? You're in the road!
Please calm down.
Please calm down. You're being killed.
Well, somewhere in all that mess, all that noise, there was Joel Wessel trying to just get somewhere. Let's get Joel on here. Joel.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on.
Sure.
So tell us, what was your experience like yesterday? You're trying to go from where to where, and what happened?
I'm trying to get to work, and as I'm crossing over the bridge, the traffic slows in front of me, and at first I just thought it was maybe like a cop doing a, you know, weaving in and out to do a traffic stop so to pick something up out of the road. And so I was like, all right, no big deal. And then all of a sudden I see everybody getting out, maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 people, I don't remember how many exactly. And I sit on my horn, I'm like, you guys got to be moving. What are you stopping right here for? And then I realized what was happening. And I jumped out of my car and I tried to grab their flag and throw it over the bridge so they'd keep moving. So traffic wouldn't be halted.
How'd that go?
Well, it didn't go well because I didn't accomplish what I needed to accomplish. So yeah, it didn't go too well.
You didn't get the flag.
I didn't get the flag. I didn't toss it over the side. And they were, as you could hear in the background, they were telling me to calm down because they were filming me. And, you know, I don't really care if I was being filmed or not. I was looking to get to work. So it was absurd. And then when the bridge police showed up, they were more focused on that I was animated and calming me down versus getting these protesters out of the way. It just seemed like the protesters played the police like a fiddle, having us there for 5.5 hours. Don't understand why they weren't arrested immediately.
So at the point that you came across them, which was near the beginning, obviously, they hadn't hooked themselves up with any sort of PVC pipes or cement blocks or chains because they have these complicated devices that they make, and they can chain themselves together, and you can't move them because it's like it's moving concrete blocks. I don't know exactly how it works, but that's the way I saw it described in the paper.
Yeah. Well, the concrete blocks were not on the bridge. They were in some other protest. I would have just knocked them over. The people on the Golden Gate Bridge chained themselves with, I guess they had like PVC, and then they put like a chain or something. But
yeah, that's one of the other methods they have is they have a chain inside a PVC pipe.
They had these flatbed pickups. Just hook up the car. They're right next to the car. Hook up the car in a flatbed and drag them away. They're not going to hurt anybody. Like, it didn't make any sense. And not only that, but the bridge has a movable barrier. Why didn't they at least open one lane? There's three lanes left. Have two to the city, one north, or vice versa. Doesn't matter. But none of it made any sense. And the bridge police kept telling us, the people that were being inconvenienced, to get back to our cars and move away.
They're breaking the law, the protesters.
Why they weren't arresting those people makes no sense.
Yeah, well, that's the politics of San Francisco there, because clearly the law allows the cops to arrest. You don't have First Amendment rights to block traffic. You don't.
Yeah.
It's
I guess my compassionate force is different than other people's, because I don't understand why they weren't arrested. It doesn't make any sense. Maybe, like there's a jurisdictional issue because it's the highway and it's two different counties. But, like, what are the bridge police there for? Just to catch jumpers?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Arrest these people.
Yeah, I know. And whatever the jurisdiction is, then get that force out there and do the arrest, whether it's one county, the other county, the bridge police, the state police, whatever it is. Just get them out. They let them stand there and do their act for 5 hours. Were you in it for 5 hours?
I was in there for 5 hours, and not only that, but when they eventually were arresting these people, they did it one at a time, and they were like literally having them like walk 10 feet back, walk 10 feet backwards to the police. And then the police would handcuff them, and they'd walk them to the bus. The protesters were, like, dancing back to the police. It was so absurd that we had to wait there for so long. I just had to go to work. I jumped back in my car. I took conference calls. I was able to jump on the computer. Other people had a lot more serious reasons to get to the city. Guys missed medical appointments, doctors miss surgeries. Mine was relatively minor. I'm just a relatively animated person being from the East Coast. And, it was ridiculous that we were locked in that position for so long.
I don't understand what's going on in the world. I really don't. That's just so outrageous. They don't have any right to do that. They can go in a public park and yell and scream all they want. But to block a highway is absolutely 100% against the law. There's no gray area about that.
I went to a protest a few weeks ago. It was on a Sunday. And, I took the ferry downtown, went to a protest. There was a permit, did our thing, and I went back home. I didn't inconvenience people. And it's completely absurd. People have a right to protest. There's no doubt about it, but not in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge and for 5.5 hours. It was absurd that they were allowed to be there for that long.
Yeah, I know. That'd be people trapped in their cars with their kids.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just nuts.
And again, the bridge police are were focused more on keeping us away and telling us to get back in our cars and allowing the protesters just to be there. If you look at the pictures, you have the police like protecting the protesters.
Yeah, you're the problem.
Unbelievable.
You are the problem. You're driving to work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, Joel, thank you for coming on with us.
Well, you got it.
All
hopefully,
right.
Hopefully we can figure this thing out a little better and not be stuck for so long.
Yeah, well, I mean, we gotta have elected officials who order the police to do their job for all us normal people out here who are just trying to go to work every day and live our lives. And we've all been abandoned. All right, Joel, thanks very much. We'll talk more about this because we got a senator out of Arkansas who suggested handling this stuff in a completely different way. Is there ever enough is enough point where normal people just get fed up? At least, what Joel tried to do, grab their flag and throw it in the water. Let them go chase it. At least have that. Why would you have deference to these great? And these people are screaming for all the Jews in Israel to be murdered. That's what they're screaming for. And they get to control the bridge for 5 hours. And it's the people trying to get to work that the police were worried about. Everything is upside down, inside out.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We just had Joe Wessel on. He was stuck on the Golden Gate Bridge for 5 freaking hours. All he wanted to do is get to work. But these pro-terrorist, pro-Hamas, nutjob protesters got all this deference from whatever police agencies were on the bridge. The police agencies, he said, were more interested in keeping the drivers at bay, not these protesters. That is absolutely breaking the law when you block traffic like that. It doesn't matter what your cause is. You have no First Amendment right, no constitutional right. It's clear cut, black and white. They should be shoved off the bridge. I don't care if they get shoved into the water. Here is U.S. Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. And he went on TV and he offered some Arkansas justice.
I agree with you that you have to get to these criminals early. If something like this happened in Arkansas on a bridge there, let's just say I think there'd be a lot of very wet criminals that have been tossed overboard, not by law enforcement, but by the people whose road they're blocking. If they glued their hands to a car or the pavement, well, probably pretty painful to have their skin ripped off. But I think that's the way we'd handle it in Arkansas. And I would encourage most people anywhere that get stuck behind criminals like this who are trying to block traffic to take matters in their own hands. There's only usually a few of them, and there's a lot of people being inconvenienced. It's time to put an end to this nonsense.
Yeah, you got to do what they did on Flight 93 when they decided that they were going to gang up on the terrorists. The passengers ganged up on the terrorists who were in the cockpit because the terrorists were going to take the plane back to Washington, D.C., remember? Now, they ended up crashing the plane, obviously. But that's the kind of spirit you need. You don't have to all go jumping off the bridge, but maybe a few of the protesters finding the water, that'll end this once and for all. Because you end up with thousands of people blocked up in traffic, and really, you're held hostage by these lunatics. They are crazy people. That's the thing. These people have mental disorders, and I don't understand why we're held hostage to people with mental disorders. It used to be they were in cement buildings, locked behind doors, and they were shot up with sedatives. Now we have to live with them, and they're in the streets all the time. They're coming at us, and then another tribe is blocking traffic. They're all the same people. They're crazy people. They're crazy people screaming in the streets, running around with no pants, smearing feces on schools, and then you have another group here screaming and howling in favor of terrorists. These protesters are terrorists too. You know, I hate to use the emergency vehicle explanation here because I think we should all have the same rights as an emergency vehicle. We should all be allowed to drive on the roads and get to work or take our kids to school or go shopping or whatever we're doing. We're supposed to have freedom in America, and we should have freedom from lunatics in America. And they're controlling us, and there's only a few of them. And all you need is the police to enforce the law. But we elect politicians who order the police not to enforce the law. I don't know how much more people are going to take. But Tom Cotton's right on. That's the way this should go. When we come back, speaking of lunatics, you know how Karen Bass thinks we all ought to be choosing Metro as our first choice for transportation. Well, there was another brutal attack on a Metro driver this time. We'll tell you about it coming up.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Karen Bass entertains me because she's always doing the rah-rah, promoting the wonders of public transit in Los Angeles. You know, she's hoping that public transit is our first choice, that we choose the bus or we choose the metro train. And boy, they're hoping that it come 2028, that's only 4 years away, that everybody visiting us from around the world for the Olympics, they're all going to be blown away by our mass transit system. They're building new subway stations, new subway lines, and it's like go with the subways and buses. And generally, people don't. They don't want to go near it because, among other reasons, they're scared to death that they're going to die. Well, we had another unfortunate attack. This was a Metro bus driver brutally attacked over the weekend, according to LA County Sheriff. The driver was just driving his route, just driving the bus, when a 31-year-old named Darnell Marshawn Bray started to yell at him. And, you know, let's play a clip. This is from KCAL 9 and the assignment editor, Mike Rogers, reporting on the police searching for this guy.
We've obtained a law enforcement flyer that is putting this person, identifying him as this person who attacked this bus driver. That is all according to the sheriff's deputies. Here's that flyer that went out. And you see the two photos on the right are actually from the night of the alleged attack. The photo in the middle is a previous photo of the man. They've actually identified him as Darnell Bray. Now, they accuse Bray of, without provocation, yelling at and attacking this bus driver. The deputy sheriff's department says that the suspect here actually hit the driver in the face with brass knuckles and then proceeded to stab him in the chest. Now, I'm told by the sheriff's department that bus driver was rushed to a local hospital, has since been released, and is now recovering. But now they are looking for this man, Darnell Bray, who they accuse of this attack. Now, they also say the detective I talked to this afternoon also tells me that there may be a hate crime portion of this as well, as some of the comments that the suspect was making as he attacked the bus driver may qualify him for additional enhancements as a hate crime here.
It's funny because Gascon will not will not prosecute enhancements if you use a gun in the commission of a crime. But if you say nasty things about the guy's ethnicity, wow, we can't tolerate that in our society. What? You made some kind of ethnic joke? Ah! You used a gun? So let's see. He punches the bus driver in the face and then, wait, in the face with brass knuckles. And then stabs him in the chest. So boom and boom. Where were the ambassadors? I don't understand. We're spending a lot of money. Metro is spending a lot of money on ambassadors. Where were the ambassadors to de-escalate the situation? By the way, what would an unarmed ambassador do if the perpetrator has brass knuckles and a knife? What's the ambassador supposed to say? Please don't punch me in the face with the brass knuckles. Please don't stab me in the chest with the knife. That's going to hurt. I'm going to bleed. Please don't do that. Now, who's taking the next Metro bus? This is 10:30 on a Saturday night. So anybody want to take a Metro bus after going downtown? Maybe you want to go see a show? You want to go to the Dorothy Chandler? Want to go to the Mark Taper Forum? Go down to the arena there? Maybe out to the restaurant? Huh? Anybody want to go? And then take the 10:30 bus back to your neighborhood. Watch for the guy with a knife and brass knuckles. Is there going to be a follow-up on Darnell Marshawn Bray? He's 31 years old. How long a record do you think this guy has? Do you think this is the first guy that Darnell Marshawn Bray ever attacked? Huh? First one? Just a bad night? It's like that that guy Anthony, Anthony Jones we're talking about who whacked the two women in Venice? Has there been a follow-up? I'm going to mention this every day for the rest of my life. What's the follow-up? What's his record? How many times was he released? Did he ever spend any time in jail? How much time did he get? What were his previous crimes? He's the guy who is now charged with attempted murder and all kinds of rape and other sexual crimes against two unsuspecting women. That he whacked in the head, knocked the teeth out of one, fractured her jaw at eight places, and one of the two was raped terribly, graphically. Even George Gascon was yelling about this yesterday. Okay, I'm going to address the news media directly. I know many of you listen. Seriously, we're friends. All the reporters, the anchors, the assignment editors, the producers, the sound guy, the cameraman, the sound guys, everybody. Is anybody interested in just a little tiny follow-up on to find out what Anthony Jones, how he lived his life? Anybody? Could we know? How about a comprehensive story? 3 minutes, okay? 3 minutes of your time. Just go through his rap sheet and name the judges who let him go free. Name the times that the prosecution knocked his cases down to misdemeanors or dismissed charges. Let us know when he got paroled and who's on the parole board. Give us like the whole rich picture of how Anthony Jones at 29 years old gets to run loose and nearly kill two women who were just walking. And this guy too, Darnell Bray. What's his story? 31? Because if the public knew this stuff, they might, if they heard about this every day, several times a day, they might get stirred up and change the laws and change the people in power. Because these stories come and go, and they're just crime blotter news. Oh, yeah, guy got stabbed. Oh, well, yeah, took him to the hospital. He's in stable condition, blah, blah, blah. But the real news, nobody does anymore. And nobody even asks. I'm the only one. I might as well just talk to myself. I pretty much am talking to myself. I'm in an empty room, aren't I?
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Alex Stone was on with us earlier in the show. And this is my favorite clip of the day. In Washington, D.C. today, the Boeing whistleblowers came out to talk about what life is like working for Boeing. when they claim Boeing was taking every shortcut imaginable to keep the production line going. And you can see what's happened in recent years because of it. But this one just took the cake for me. It has not resulted in an accident yet. This may turn out to be nothing. It's one man's opinion. But he says he saw something, which I don't think he made up because it sounds too bizarre to make up. The Boeing engineer who testified at two Senate hearings, Sam Salapur, and he described seeing some of the Boeing employees jumping up and down on the plane panels to get them to fit together. Here is cut number two, Sam Salapur.
As a result, I witnessed severe misalignment when the planes were assembled. Boeing manufacturing used unmeasured and unlimited amount of force to correct the misalignment. And this also weakens the airplane in the long run. I literally saw people jumping on the pieces of the airplane to get them to align. I call it the Tarzan effect, among other improper methods. Again, I raised concerns internally. I was sidelined. I was told to shut up. I received physical threats. My boss said, I would have killed someone who said what you said in a meeting. And then this is not a safety culture when you get threatened by bringing issues of safety concerns.
All right, so that's bad enough, right? The employees jumping on a plane panel to try to force the two parts to fit because they would come from different places. And the difference was 5/1,000ths of an inch. That is the width of a human hair or two sheets of paper, which doesn't seem like much until you fly a highly pressurized plane 35,000 feet in the air hundreds of times, and then that little tiny crack there, that little microscopic space between the two panels, he says that's going to turn out to be a big deal. Boeing says they've done all kinds of testing, modeling, and simulation, and no such thing. But he brings this up, and he might be wrong. I don't know. But do you give Boeing the benefit of the doubt these days after everything else that went on? But the reaction is, if I heard that in a meeting, I'd kill him. That's not what you want to hear. You're told to shut up. Boy, something bad happens. That company is going to be destroyed. We've got Conway.
Hey now. I think this summer is going to be wild when it comes to crime and mischief. I think we're really cranking up for a hot, long summer. Because people are broke. You know, nobody has any money.
Yeah.
And people are pissed. You know, they're going to be pissed if Biden's president. They're going to be pissed if Trump is president. I think people are getting angrier and angrier in this country.
Does seem like we're on the edge of something. I agree.
Yeah,
with you.
It does.
I really do.
You know, when you used to drive around, you saw maybe one guy a week with road rage and raging against some other guy. I see it 10 times a day now.
There's a lot more aggression on the roads.
There is.
Especially on the freeways at night.
Yeah, it's wild.
And people are driving crazy, like racetrack crazy.
I know. And they're taking their life in their own hands by passing on the shoulder, and it's getting crazy.
Zigzagging all the way through. Yeah. And it's just...
I remember the guy, I think it was from Burbank or Glendale, and he was going southbound on the 5 freeway, just went under the 134, and he crashed into the Colorado off-ramp sign, and the cops show up, firemen show up, and they can't find the driver. And they're looking in the bushes, they're looking everywhere, and they can't find the guy who's driving that car. And they see blood splattering down there, and they look up. He's up on the sign. He was driving so fast, his body got launched up into the California exit sign. He's in the sign. How fast do you have to be going where you end up in the street sign? Like
no, he's
30,
no,
they're no, 25 feet above you.
No longer with us?
He is no longer with us. No. But it's crazy how, I mean, and it's mostly kids with fast cars. And like when I was a kid, I was an idiot. You know, you did stupid
things. Oh, I was an idiot.
Yeah. And we just got lucky that we didn't get caught or get killed.
I wonder who was the bigger idiot.
Oh, I bet you it was me.
It was you?
I think so, yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, not doing anything to put anybody else in danger, but putting myself in danger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't unusual for us to go to a party and then nine guys decide to get in a car and drive to Vegas at 2 a.m.
Loaded.
Yes, right.
Yes.
And going 100 miles an hour. You know, right. it was wild. Anyway, we got, who do we have on? Alex Stone talking about the whistleblower at Boeing. It's a big deal. And then Amy King is coming back on with us to talk about the wake up call with Amy King with the Wiggle Waggle Walk.
The Wiggle Waggle Walk.
Yeah.
All right.
We should do that with Jennifer Jones Lee or Jessica Lee Parker or whatever her name was. What was her name?
Huh? Too many names. I don't know.
Yeah. Three names, I'm out.
That's right.
Two names.
You get two names.
John Colbell.
That's it.
That's right.
All right. Conway's next.
Dig Dog.
And Crozier's got the news live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.